Good morning, everyone. Today, the topic of my presentation is about comparing different soil test extractions for predicting potassium availability and calibrate potassium rates for tomato production in a calcareous soil. To provide appropriate potassium rates, the soil test is adopted. The first step of soil testing is to select one extractant. Recently, Melix 3 is widely used for soils with acidic to neutral pH. And it is a universal extractant to simultaneously extract phosphorus, potassium, and micronutrients by only one extraction solution. In Florida, the ammonia bicarbonate DDPA, we call it ABDDPA, is suggested as a universal extractant for the calcareous soil. Both Melix 3 and ABDDPA use the ammonia ions to exchange potassium. Also, some previous researchers suggested water as a soil test potassium extractant. To interpret soil test results, this curve is used, and three critical relative response is identified, 50, 75, and 100%. The related soil test rating scale is entitled low, medium, and high, at which 50 to 75% at 100 or near 100% crop response, crop potential will be expected without addition of any fertilizer. The next step is to determine how much fertilizer will be needed at each interpretation category, and this code will be used based on the relative yield, based on yield goal, and at different soil test results. The first method is a typical soil test calibration method. Another one is a multiple regression model. And the equation uses the linear and quadratic terms of pre-plant soil test results and fertilizer application rates plus the interaction term of these two items. And a control graph was made from this model. The x-axis is the soil test results, the y-axis is the application rates. The regression curve represents the relative yield. From this curve, we can get the critical soil test results, and meanwhile, the application rates will be predicted. Nationally, Florida ranked first in fresh market tomato production, so we picked tomato for our study. Now, the recommendation, potassium recommendation for tomato is only provided in acid mineral soils, and Melix 3 is used as soil test extractant. For the low interpretation category, the recommended potassium rates ranged from 116 to 139 kilogram per hectare. When the soil test results higher than 16 ppm, there's no need to apply any fertilizer. There is a supplemental application of 19 kilogram per hectare will be required when there's leaching refill and all the harvest period is extended. In Florida, we have another type of soil, the calcareous soil, mostly located in Miami Dade County in the deep south of Florida. And this soil has very high pH and very high calcium carbonate content. The surface layer of this type of soil is only 20 centimeters. It's so crazy. And there's very little research about the potassium fertilization on this type of soil. One research suggested the water will not be was not a practical extractant because of the high variability, and they only identified two critical soil test results by Melix 3 and ABDPA. Another research showed there's no tomato yield response to potassium rates from 0 to 140 when the soil ranged from medium to high. However, the numerical soil test interpretation was not provided. So the soil test interpretation and the recommendation were not available until now. Our research, we conducted a potassium trial research to compare the effectiveness of Melix 3, ABDDPA, and water to estimate potassium availability, and meanwhile with various potassium application rates. The second objective is to predict the required potassium rates at different soil test results. This trial was conducted in one research farm in UF. And one field that has never been farmed for more than 10 years was selected. The initial soil test results arranged at about 80 ppm. Tomatoes were growing in two winter seasons, and we have 6 potassium trials as the treatment. Each plot was 9 meters long and included 3 beds. The potassium results ranged from 0 to 223 kilogram per hectare, and they were the same for the 2 years. The application divided into pre-plant dry fertilizer and fertigation. All the nitrogen and phosphorus were consistent for all the treatment. The pre-plant dry fertilizer included all the phosphorus, 25% nitrogen, and portions of potassium were surface banded on the bed center and then incorporated into the soil. Then the bed covered by plastic mulch. Meanwhile, 4 drip tips were placed on each bed, 2 used for irrigation and another 2 were used for fertigation. The liquid fertilizer was injected into each plot separately by the leaflet hoses. The fertigation was injected weekly from the first flowering to the first harvest of tomato green season. We collect soil sample 5 times from the beginning to the end of the season, and they were extracted by MX3, APDP, and water. We also determined the total plant uptake from the plant tissue, and also we harvest 3 times of the tomato yield. Here are the methods for statistic analysis. The correlation between soil test results were determined by a simple linear correlation. To calibrate the potassium risk, we used 2 methods. The second one is the multiple regression model we introduced before. For the typical methods, in the regression curve, we can see there's a huge range of soil test potassium values from low to medium. But here, we only have 2 years and conducted on one side. The potassium risk, the soil test potassium risk are limited. So we introduced a concept of the total potassium input. It was calculated by adding the initial soil test concentration with the full season potassium risk. The units ppm and kilogram per hectare can be transformed to each other using the soil bulk density and soil depths. We tried 4 models, linear, quadratic, linear plateau, quadratic plateau, these 4 models to analyze the relationship between tomato relative yield and the total potassium input. So here is the results. Firstly, the highest correlation was found between MX3 and ABTPA. So to calibrate the potassium rates, we only compared MX3 and ABTPA. To check the total potassium input, this concept, if it's available or not, used to calibration. So we correlate it with the total plant potassium uptake. Significant linear correlation was found using both MX3 and ABTPA, so it gave us more confidence to use it to calibrate potassium risk. For the ABTPA, the correlation between relative yield and total input was predicted by a quadratic model. The second method used a multiple regression model, also significant. So, calculate from both of these 2 methods, we get this table. The 3 critical relative yield, we used 50, 75, and we set 95% as the optimum yield goal. Okay, for without potassium application, to produce 50 and 95 relative yield, the soil test potassium from these 2 methods calibrated at same range. From 17 to 120, and another method from 72 to 103. And to produce 95% relative yield without any fertilizer application, the soil test critical results at 183 and 117 respectively. The 117, this number is very close to the above number 103. These results we consider it unreasonable, so we drop it, just use the method 1. Use the 183 to set it as the critical number to produce 95% relative yield without any fertilizer application. Also, at these 2 group numbers, 70-120 and 72-103. At this sort of results, how much fertilizer needed to produce 95 relative yield? The results get also similar group from 271-151. Another group is 277-136 kilogram per hectare. For Malik 3, also quadratic model was used to predict the relative yield with the total potassium input. And the multiple regression model also significant. But this method for Malik 3, the method 2 is only calculated with 83 ppm critical results to produce 50% relative yield, and similar results from method 1 at 85 ppm. The two results were similar. However, the method 2 cannot produce the relative yield higher than higher or at 75%. So from method 1, the results, method 1, the results were generated from here. The highest critical soil test results at 213 ppm. This number was much higher than the 60 ppm in acid mineral soils. That means the character soil to produce optimum tomato yield, the character soil required much higher soil potassium fertility. This results might be because of the potassium fixation by the clay minerals, or also because of the antagonism among potassium, calcium, and magnesium in character soil. Also, from method 1, we calibrate the required potassium rates. This group is a little similar with the ABDTPE method. So in conclusion, both Malik 3 and ABDTPE can be used to estimate potassium availability and also to calibrate potassium rates needed to produce optimum tomato yield. And we generated this table by two extracting ABDTPE and Malik 3, also the three interpretation categories from low to high and related potassium recommendation. This is just based on our 2 years trial, so this needs to be validated by more field studies. But right now we have this preliminary recommendation for the local growers. Thank you for your time. Any comments or questions?
We do have time for a couple of questions.
Yep.
Have you looked at the quality of the fruits?
The fruits?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. This results no any difference among the potassium rates from 0 to 223. There's no any response. We test the firmness, the soluble solid, and pH, and the color, but there's no any significant difference.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.